Okay. I entitled today's message, Where Did Your Storm Come From? You know, the storms of life, I imagine people in paradise are thinking it's a hurricane of a situation at the moment. But we have these. But storms in life, like miracles, in the same way, can present these amazing challenges and yet opportunities for us to grow. But it really depends on what kind of storm you're going through. Some storms, even though they're sent by the devil, can be opportunities for us to use what we've been trained in already, for us to use the revelation that we already have to deal with. And there are storms in your life that are really miracles just waiting to happen. I imagine some of you are going through them now. Let's turn to Mark 4:35. Like this one that they went through. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now you know this is Jesus with his disciples. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Now, I'd like to read that from the Message Bible, just because it gives it kind of a different perspective. Starting at the same place, "Late that day he said to them, 'Let's go across to the other side.' They took him in the boat as he was. Other boats came along. A huge storm came up. Waves poured into the boat, threatening to sink it. And Jesus was in the stern, head on a pillow, sleeping. They roused him, saying, 'Teacher, is it nothing to do to you that we're going down?' 'Awake now,' he told the wind to pipe down, and said to the sea, 'Quiet, settle down.' The wind ran out of breath. The sea became smooth as glass. Jesus reprimanded the disciples, 'Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all?' They were in absolute awe and staggered. 'Who is this anyway?' they asked. 'Wind and sea at his beck and call.'" I like that version. But there are other kinds of storms that God sends to show us that we're going in the wrong direction.
Tornado?
Like that. Yeah, I like that. Sometimes we're going in the wrong direction. We get a storm, like the one that Jonah got. Remember that one? Let's see. From Jonah 1, verse 4. "But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.'" So here we see two kinds of storms, two different purposes for each one. One was sent by God, the other was sent by who? The devil. Both situations involve a man sleeping in a boat. One because of depression and a way of escaping a reality that he didn't like, and the other because he was living with a different point of view, a kingdom point of view. He was looking at the situation from the kingdom of heaven's point of view, and he knew that in the kingdom there was no storm. So the question this morning is, What kind of storm are you in? Are you in a storm sent by God or a storm sent by the devil? And are you dealing with it the way that God wants you to deal with it? It's a good question, isn't it? Have you let past miracles in your life, past answers to prayer that you've experienced, have you let that train you for how to deal? Have you let the kingdom experiences that you've already had teach you and graduate you for what you're facing? So that now you're walking in a place of faith, you know, you're built up, you know what you're supposed to do for your most recent challenge. The disciples' storm was sent by the devil to keep them from the will of God. Jonah's storm was sent by God to drive him to the will of God. I should say back to the will of God, because he knew what the will of God was. God told him, you go to Nineveh. Sometimes you'll find a storm because you took a left and God took a right, and you just need to get back on track. In his mercy, and we have to realize it's mercy, God will bring a storm to drive you back to where he is. Be careful what you pray for and sing. Draw me close to you. Here comes the storm. Sometimes you'll face storms because you're right in the middle of God's will. Everything's flowing smoothly. And God will allow you to be caught in a storm. Why? He wants to train you. He wants to train you to use the tools that he's already given you. Sometimes I think that people that have gone to church for years and years have more Bible in them than they'll ever use at the pace they're going. And yet they want more and more. Tell us more. Because he wants to train you to use tools he has already given you. Do you hear me? Amen. To calm the storm. Most of us find ourselves in a storm, and the first thing we do is cry out to God, help! It's still a valid prayer. The crisis comes, somebody gets hurt, or we experience loss. We lose our job, or somebody in one of our loved ones. Life takes this unexpected turn for the worse. And what do we do as good Christians? Well, most of us figure our job is to cry out to God and to ask him to intervene and change our circumstances. Fix it, Lord, fix it. The thing is, that's not the purpose of the storm, for us to just grab Jesus in the boat and say, Lord, don't you care that we're going down? Well, I've got a lot to say on that subject. See, if we only cry out, though, we are stepping down from our role in the miracle. We play a part. If all we do is cry out, no matter how sincere our cry is, we're abandoning our place in that miracle. I think it's important that we understand this. God never allows a storm without first providing the tools to calm the storm. I'll say it again. God never allows a storm except that he provides us the tools to calm that storm. He wants us to use those tools to take care of business. The business of creating a miracle. Can you believe this? Think of the greatest conflict or crisis that you've had in this past year. I've had a few. Having to flee my home for fear of fire. That was interesting. If you take a good, close, hard look, which I have, I'm sure you can identify the tools that God put in your life to take care of that situation. He allows problems. God allows problems into our lives so that we can defeat them, not just so we can cry out to him every time. Where are the tools? Well, tools will be right there in the boat with us. But the enemy will send fear so we forget where the tools are. He always uses fear. That's why fear not is how many times in the Bible?
366.
Once per leap year. Then sometimes, you know, we'll see the storm and we'll pray what the disciples prayed when they saw Jesus sleeping in the boat. Don't you care that we're perishing? They were sincere. Yeah, I know, really. Don't you know how long it's been? You know, don't you know what I'm going through? God, don't you know how serious this is? Don't you know how much it hurts? God, don't you know? Jesus got up and answered their prayer. Hallelujah. Praise God. Most of us feel good when God answers prayer, don't we?
Yes.
I say, yay, God. Or for those that are more formal, Heavenly Father, I come before you today to thank and praise thee for thy abundant mercies towards us. I say, yay, God. We just feel good when God answers our prayers. We look at that story there and we applaud the disciples, you know, for doing the right thing in that circumstance. They went to Jesus. Good job, brothers. You took it to Jesus. Take it to the Lord in prayer. But what was Jesus' response to that? Jesus turned to them and said, how come you don't have any faith? Well, and they're like, maybe they thought, well, wait a minute, I had enough faith to come to you. We talked to you. That's like prayer, isn't it? Go to Jesus. That's an example of prayer right there. And you did what I asked. I thought I was paid to pray and you were paid to do, Jesus.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
No, I say no to that. It's our responsibility to command that obstacle to disappear.
Amen.
Now, I don't want to put anybody down. I'm not doing that. That won't help us today. But it's useful to understand this fact here. Of all the good Christian people that are living and ministering in our region here, this area, most of their ministry involves trying to get God to fix problems on the earth. When they should be commanding the storms in their life and in this area to calm. When will we learn to see all situations from heaven's perspective and declare the word of the Lord over these situations, over these storms, so then we can watch heaven invade? That's how it works. I have tremendous love and respect for the ministry of intercession. I love intercessors. Intercession is where you pray for others. You just dedicate your time to pray for others. You are interceding. You stand in the gap and you mediate between heaven and earth for the needs of other people. I love that. Sometimes the ministry of intercession is done by those who are really gifted for it. I've seen towns change as a result of intercession. Other times, any one of us can be used by God to pray for the needs of other people, any of us. But I also know of intercessors who moan and groan and cry. You know, they'll just get together on a day and just moan and groan and cry, and they end up depressed all the time. It's kind of a weird thing, and they call that intercession. Then next week they'll gather again and moan and groan and pray, and And the problem with that is that they never come to a place of faith. They're always crying, never coming to that place of faith, which would strengthen them. The problem is, we have to come into a place of faith when we pray. Now, I know what that's like. There's been seasons in my life where all I could do is just cry out on behalf of people in my family and and their situations and old friends. I've prayed for hours and days and weeks and off and on for years for some things. Did that for years. I was very impressive in my determination and my faithfulness. Now, thank God he never penalized me for it because he knew the sincerity of my heart. But in reality, of all the time I spent praying, very little of it was in faith. Most of it was out of depression or discouragement or a burden for someone. We use that term, a burden. Feels like you're carrying a weight around for them. And the sad thing is that a lot of believers can't yet tell the difference between the burden of the Lord and the heaviness of their own unbelief. Sometimes you might really feel the pain or the sorrow of a situation you're praying for. You ever done that? Just actually felt the pain and the heaviness of what someone else is going through that you're praying for? And that's okay. It's okay to start there. But we need to do whatever is necessary when we're praying like we did today for situations and for people to arrive at a place of faith where you really believe that something's going to happen. And that old style kind of whining intercession is the opposite of what Jesus expects of us when we face storms. If Jesus is sleeping in your boat, it's not because he's waiting for you to wake him up with your heartfelt prayers. He's in your boat because you, Christian, filled with faith and the Holy Spirit, you have a divine purpose in that. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Good. That's good. He's wanting you to use the tools he's already given you to bring about a supernatural, heavenly result. Excellent point, Jonathan. It's good. I have to do that to myself.
My mom shared with me, Jonathan, when I was going through a hard time once, and she was telling me, she goes, "Well, you've been praying for that." She goes, "Do you think God doesn't remember what you've asked for?" And she goes, "You have to get on fret about that." She goes, "We prayed for Jonathan." And she goes, "And he just kept praying for Jonathan." And she goes, "We don't need to pray for Jonathan because God already knows that he's taking care of Jonathan."
Amen.
And I thought, you know, that comes to me a lot of times when I go back to the Lord over and over again is, okay, you've already talked to him and he knows that need.
Yep. You know what they would do? Is she would be, at least she would just begin to thank God that I'm saved, that I'm strengthened in him, that I'm at the center of his will. She prayed the result before she could see it.
That's right. She had words of wisdom and counsel that way with all of us.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we're talking about. That kind of faith when you're facing a situation or you're praying for someone. Some teachers teach that God likes to wait until the last minute to intervene and kind of show that he's sovereign. They think, well, that's his cute and clever way of showing that he was in control all the time. And he is. But you hear people say, God's never late, he's never early, he's always, what? Right on time. But God doesn't always work that way. The truth is, if he always intervenes at the last minute, it's usually because we failed to use the tools he gave us in the first place. Come on. Come on. Listen, if you're facing a spiritual battle right now, it's usually because you have been trained for this moment. It means that you've experienced things already in your life that should have taught you how to respond to the storm you're in right now.
Amen.
When problems come, you should already know the right thing to do. You shouldn't have to seek God through hours of discouraged prayer. You shouldn't have to seek help about the same things over and over, just like we were talking about. You should be ready to step in and step up and say, I believe God for a miracle in this situation. That backslidden boy will return home.
He
and he did. That disease in your body is broken in the name of Jesus. That financial crisis is over. When should you pray and cry out to God? Beforehand.
Without ceasing.
Before the crisis.
All the time.
Like Jesus did, we should be crying out to God in our private times when there is no crisis. When nothing's going wrong, that's how you store up power. That's how you create an inner atmosphere of faithfulness and peace, and that you can take right into that tough situation and you're prepared. Do you hear me this morning?
Amen.
Let's not just watch God do something awesome in our lives and then give a little golf clap and say, amen, amen, praise God, and walk away unchanged. Let's don't do that. Let's recognize that we are equipped for every single storm that blows our way. I said we are equipped.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes, we are equipped.
Equipped. We've been trained how? By past miracles, past answers to prayer, to see present solutions.
That's right.
You got this. Let's allow that revelation that we've gained and the experiences we've had in God to forever change the way that we approach life. Let's approach it with a heavenly perspective, seeing the earth from God's point of view. Now, we could stop right there and go home, but we've got a few minutes. And I found a few additional things. The Lord just took that passage from Mark with Jesus in the boat and showed me six nuggets that I want to share with you this morning. Six golden nuggets. What does this mean to us for today? There's a few other things in this scripture. It's an amazing passage, amazing thing to imagine. I like to imagine I'm right there with him. One thing I want to point out here, that Jesus was not moved by human circumstances. Jesus only did what he was led of the Father to do. Do you believe that? Jesus only did, he told us this, he only did what he saw his Father do. He only said what he saw his or heard his Father say. And everything that we see in the scripture of what Jesus did and said, he was showing us what the Father was doing and saying. He'd been ministering all day, and he knew there was more ministry to perform that night, but they had to go to the other side of the lake, right? So he got in the boat, told the disciples they were going to go to the other side, and he laid down for a little nap. Naps are good. How many of you like naps? I like naps. When the storm arose, Jesus was not moved, because Jesus actually slept through that storm, because the Father had already told him that he needed to do something on the other side of the lake. So what was he worried about? You know, when you're doing the will of God, storms may arise, they may come up, and opposition to what you want and what you believe God's will come up. But you have to not be moved by the opposition. You have to not be moved by the human circumstances. But we should do what Jesus does, which you need to be moved by what God said and what he's leading you to do. You going to sleep on me?
No.
Okay.
So facing a storm does not mean that you're outside of God's will. That's important to know. Just because you have this awful circumstance storm into your life does not mean you've been doing something wrong. You can be in the very center of God's holy will, doing everything right, and face a storm. You simply have to have more confidence in God than you have fear in the storm. When the peace of God fills your heart, you can sleep through a storm. Somebody once said, you can only have victory over the storms you can sleep through. Another little nugget. Rest is spiritual. Remember that. We're not supposed to burn the candle at both ends. Even if you're a busy mother. It's not the will of God that we just run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Jesus needed rest, and so do we. That's right.
John, what was the second one again? Please, I missed it.
When the peace of God fills your heart, you can sleep through a storm. The fourth one, fear is a choice, just like faith is a choice. The disciples chose to operate in fear. Jesus chose to operate in what? Faith. Faith. This meant that Jesus was resting while the poor disciples were stressing. Which one will you choose today? Fear or faith?
Faith.
Because you know you can't operate in fear and faith at the same time. Faith comes in, fear has to go. Number five, Jesus always deals with the root of the issue. The Bible says that he rebuked the wind first and then spoke to the waves. Spoke to the waves. There we go. The waves were only reacting to the wind. Twitchy fingers. So, whenever storms rage in your life, whether it's in your marriage or the workplace or you're dealing with your children, seek to find the root of that issue first. Deal with that first. And once you deal with the root issue, everything else will kind of fall into place. That's how it works. And finally, we got a lot to say. We speak a lot. Speak the language of faith. Jesus first spoke that he was going over to the other side. He declared it. He said, "Let's go, guys." The language of faith speaks what it believes, not what it sees. Do you understand that? That's how faith is activated. What my friend Barry from Georgia say, he used to say what it is when it ain't, so it can be. Say what it is when it ain't, so it can be. That's a spiritual principle. That's a tool that God gives us. Speaking what you see will never change what you see. So don't speak what you see. Speak what God's will is for that situation. Declare it. Prophesy it. Is just speaking over a situation and declaring what God's will is. Declare God's word. So looking at an earthly condition and speaking a heavenly desire from a believing heart releases power. It releases the power of God in the earth to change what you see into what you said. And I'll leave you with that, but I'd like you to declare something with me today, if you can do it in faith. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Stand up with me. Let's just say it together. I thank you for teaching me through your word to walk and live by faith every day in every way. I was saved by your grace, and I laid hold of eternal life with my faith. I overcome the world through faith. As I live by faith with total confidence in your written and revealed word, I am able to sleep through and speak to the storms that arise. I am not moved by what I see. I am only moved by what I believe. And I refuse to allow what I see to change what I say. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.